You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. I just got word, I learned it about 10 minutes ago, that the studio that I'm in will have some construction work going on definitely this Thursday and Friday, so there'll be no shows Thursday and Friday. And next week, it's somewhat up in the air. It looks like I'll definitely have a show Friday, but Monday through Thursday, it really depends on when they finish the construction work. So bear with me. I'm sure once we get going and this construction work, wiring work is done, and we do some required maintenance, we'll get back to a regular schedule of Monday through Friday at roughly 5 to 7 in the evenings. Now, the news story today is the tropical storm now upgraded to a Category 1 hurricane, Dorian. It is off the coast of, it's not off the coast anymore. It's over Puerto Rico. But I think from the track, it's going to not stay there very long. I'm not saying there's not going to be some damage. There definitely is. And see, this is what's very, very difficult on any of these hurricanes. You need to know a couple of things. One is, where's it headed? What is the track of the storm? You also need to know the size of the storm, and you seem to get a picture of that, a lot of clouds. And yes, the wind, what they call the categories, and the categories are really categories of damage. My rule of thumb, if it's Category 1 or 2, if you're in a welcome constructed building, not near the shore or the coastline, you're probably going to get wet, but I wouldn't fear it. You need to stay inside because even with Category 1 or Category 2 wind speeds, and they vary, and I have a chart for those that are new listeners to the show. The way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is to go to my companion blog, PronkPops.wordpress.com, and if you do, you'll see a picture of yours truly in the studio. Under that, you'll see links of the most recent shows, 60 to 80 shows. But below that, you'll see usually graphics, cartoons, charts, graphs, articles related to the stories that I'm going to be covering. So I'm going to focus in on hurricanes in general and Dorian in particular. But the first key thing to learn is, well, first of all, it's going to hit you. That's why I emphasize the track and the size first. Now, if it looks like it's headed right over you, then you should be thinking about, first of all, the wind speed. I have relatives. My family lived in Florida. They get used to it, and that's one of the dangers. They get a lot of rain, so rain is not that unusual. You can get flooding, though, when a tropical storm or a hurricane stalls or slows down wherever you are, because then you'll get a high accumulation of rain. It's like a flash flood. So you got to take that into account. But the thing that most of people look at is the wind speeds. So if it's a tropical storm, that doesn't mean you can't get injured, because high winds can do what? They can knock off shingles. They can put objects in motion. And when objects are in motion, they can hit your car or they could hit you if you're outside. I always look at these so-called brave, I call them idiotic people, standing outside, you know, in the wind, and you can see the debris. Debris flying. It could hit you, folks. So that's why you're well advised to stay indoors. If you have some time, especially if it's going to be a category 1, 2, 3 or higher hurricane, you better board up your windows, because, again, when they bust, that's flying glass. They're projectiles that could kill you. So that's why I emphasize initially, know where that hurricane is going. And keep in mind, it's only so accurate. You're not going to get, it's not like a GPS. It's definitely going to go over our house. No. It's usually several miles, or, you know, up to 10 or more. You get an idea, and that's why it's vitally important that you listen to the weather forecast. They will update them usually every hour or two, so you get a better idea. It always helps if you've been through a couple of these, and I have. I used to live in Taiwan a long time ago. They don't have hurricanes. They have typhoons, but they're the same thing. And again, it's a lot of rain, usually in a short period of time. It usually lasts a couple of days, folks. It's continuous rain for 1 or 2 days. And that really depends on the speed of the hurricane, whether it's 10, 15, 20 miles, in terms of not its wind speed, but how fast it's going over land. Some of them will stall, or if not stall outright, go 1 or 2 miles, and it's moving, and it's going over your area, but it might take a couple of days before there's no more rain pouring. The flooding you got to be sensitive to, and I'm not finished on this. So you got what's a Category 1 hurricane? They have wind speeds of 24 to 95 miles per hour. That's fast, folks. I'm not trying to minimize it. And it will do damage, and anything that's loose is going to fly in the air. And yeah, it can bring down stop signs, for examples, and you can get a lot of flying objects. That's why if it is a Category 1, you should still stay inside. Doesn't mean you're not going to get hurt, but if you're careful, stay in a well-constructed building, where you stay away from windows, draw the drapes, but you should put up plywood boards so if something does fly into a window, it doesn't break the window. And that's what most people in Florida do. When they see it's going to be a hurricane, they're going to be putting up the boards. They'll take them down, you know, once the winds die down. And there will be some damage. Then you have what's called a Category 2. And this is 96 miles an hour to 110 miles an hour. That's a little bit more dangerous, a little bit more wind. And this scale, for those that are unfamiliar with it, it can go up to Category 5. And it's trying to give you, and I have a video on this, showing the damage. It's an animation, but it shows you the damage of a Category 1, Category 2, 3, 4, 5. And some will recommend that they even go to 6. But the point is this. Once it gets into the Category 3, 4, and 5, your best bet is what? To move out of your house and go north, south, wherever it's safe, where the hurricane is not expected to go. So what most people do, once they hear it's a hurricane, whether it's 1, 2, or 3, they're putting up typically boards or metal. I have a couple of pictures of this. You can put up these aluminum, they look like shutters, on both your doors and your windows. You do that to protect yourself against glass, because you're going to have people, the winds or objects could hit the glass, blow it in, and if you get into the higher speeds, it'll blow out the glass. And I'm not saying it can't blow out even the paneling that people put, the plyboard or aluminum. But that's up to you. Now, some people don't mess with it as long as it's a Category 1 or 2. They're taking a risk, though. So what happens if the wind gets higher? Well, you're going to have more damage. And I think you're very unwise to stay in your home once it's Category 3, 4, or 5. Because what happens is it can build up speed. It could quickly go to a Category 3 and then go to a 4. And you always see these pictures of people putting up plywood, and they're trying to protect, first and foremost, from wind smashing in the glass. If it's not the wind, it's objects in the wind carried by the wind. And most people know when to get out. Why? Because the state says, get out. It's not advisable you stay here. And that typically happens in Florida. People in southern Florida, you know, my parents used to live in Jacksonville. My brother is still in Lakeland. And Lakeland is right in the middle, sort of the center of Florida. Jacksonville, though, is on the coast. And I'll get into the water aspects this to a minute, because you have to look at what they call the surge. The hurricane surges water. So if you, let's say a normal high tide is 10 feet. Well, it could be double or triple that when the surge is the surge of water in, and that can flood. That's why if you're on the coast or near the coast, storm surge is key. This is the water damage, the initial hitting when the hurricane goes over the land. Now, usually what happens when the hurricane goes over land, two things happen. It slows down because it's running into buildings and slowing down, but it's flooding a lot of places. And the high winds go down. But if you're in a 4 or 5, the winds are so, they'll level buildings. They'll pick up buildings and torch them, especially roofs. They'll blow off the roof. So don't think you could, as a last resort, go to the roof. Some people do that. They go to the roof and think they can out. They're safe. They're not safe. It's dangerous, folks. That's why if you know the track is going to go right over you, it's a hurricane 3, 4, or 5, get out. Now, you always have people that won't leave. They think, and the reason is because they've waited out hurricanes in 1 or 2 or even 3, but the deadliest ones are 4 and 5. If you're seeing predictions of 4 or 5, get out, because if you're dealing with 5, it's in some cases it's getting very close to 200 miles an hour. It's 170, 180, 190. It's going to level buildings, most buildings, not all, because we have steel reinforced concrete, but it does a lot of damage. And one of the first things they're going to go out is the electrical power, because what happens? The power lines go down, and that's dangerous because many times it's live wires. If you touch or near that, you'll get electrocuted. So there are many dangers. Flying debris initially is number one, and then flooding and literally being flooded out. And as the eye of the hurricane goes over land, you're going to get, in the eye of the hurricane, it's relatively calm, but depending on how fast the hurricane is moving, you might be in it for a couple of minutes, maybe even 10 or longer. But then what happens? It comes right back because it's moving off, and you could be in 130, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. So if you haven't been prepared, you're in for many, many days. And what happens is the people that are in, I'll tell you who gets worse hit. This hurricane might not do much damage to Puerto Rico this time. But the last one, Maria, 2 years ago, about 3,000 people were killed. And the electrical grid was brought down for months. So if you live in a situation where the buildings are not that well constructed, or you're hit by a Category 3, 4, or 5 hurricane, your homes might not be inhabitable. And even if you're in your home, doesn't mean there's going to be not a lot of damage, either by the water, the wind, and there'll be no electricity. And for many days, few people are going to go out and try to rescue you. That's why it's vitally important to go to a well-constructed building, a larger building. But the best situation, again, if you can afford it, because many people can't afford leaving Puerto Rico or leaving their homes in Florida or the Bahamas. It looks like this one's going to hit Puerto Rico. Whether it hits it with all its might is the question. Puerto Rico might get lucky. But it looks like it's definitely going to hit the Bahamas strongly, especially if it's upgraded, and I think it will be upgraded. What happens is they first start as a storm. People don't panic, but their eyes are on it. And then they really start to pay attention when, oops, it's been upgraded to Category 1 hurricane. And then usually the same day, it's now a Category 2, and that's when you should get very, very nervous. You definitely should have your windows boarded up. And once it hits 3 or approaching 3, that's when I would move. If I were in Florida, I would head to Georgia or up into the interior of the United States. The problem is you're not going to be alone. There'll be thousands, millions of people with the same idea, and you got to get gas. Now, many people that have, for example, lived in Florida many years, they know the drill. They have a go bag or bag already packed. Many of them try to take as much as they can. Some will even have trailers. They'll put as much of their property, personal property, in the car, the trunk, the trailer if they have it. Make sure everything's boarded up, and they head north. But again, it's where is the hurricane going to hit land? This one looks like it's going to hit not only Puerto Rico, Bermuda, but also all of Florida, and then just head up the coast, the East Coast. This has the potential to be a very dangerous and deadly hurricane. But what you got to keep in mind is these hurricanes change course all the time, and some even come back. They'll circle around. Now, when they get dangerous is when they're either not moving or moving very, very slowly over water, because the warm water is sucked up into the hurricane and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's why you see these big, round, circling clouds. Now, they're over water. If you're on a boat or a ship, you need to get out of there. And that's what most vessels do. They run for it. And what the military is already doing is moving their aircraft, you know, from Jacksonville and other points on the coast to where? Texas. So our story that I used to live in Fort Worth. It's now, they used to have a wing of B-52s there. They no longer are there. But it's a joint Air Force naval base. And what's happening today, tomorrow, into the weekend, a lot of Navy Air Force aircraft are getting out of Dodge, wherever Dodge is. If they're located along the coast in Florida, the Air Force has several Air Force bases in Florida. The Navy has a number of not only for vessels, but has aircraft there as well. So they head for example, this large 10,000 plus runway. I used to always drive to work, and at the gate would be the end of the runway, and then you keep going in before you get to the plant. And on a couple occasions, you have the B-52 wing that was based there. They would all be lined up, and they're trying to get off. They're training for an attack, so that what they do is try to get off as quick as possible. It's something to see. You know, several dozen B-52 aircraft, and they are being graded. They're trying to, you know, that we're under attack. They got to get the whole wing off the ground and headed to their targets, wherever that is. Now, the bomber wing is no longer there, but that's where they build, for example, the F-16 and other aircraft in the past. They used to build the F-111 there, but they're still building the F-16 and other aircraft. And it used to be, I believe, an Air Force plant. I think now it's a Navy plant. I could be wrong. The key thing is, right, they share that base runway. On one side, it was the military. On the other side, when I was there, it was the General Dynamics Division, Fort Worth Division. Now it's Lockheed Martin. And they produce, I'm going to get this wrong, I always mix them up, I believe they produce the F-35. So you have the Navy and the Air Force, and it's not just to this base. There are a number of bases that they're sending their aircraft to because they don't want it damaged. These are expensive aircraft. But they're also sending their ships out to sea away from the hurricane. Now, initially, that means they're going to go north into the Atlantic. But these hurricanes usually follow the East Coast. Now, some will head right inland and do a lot of damage and flooding and die out. This one, I don't know. That's the problem. No one knows. No one has a crystal ball here. They generally, when they're in the Caribbean, and that's where this one is, it started in the Caribbean. It's now in the Caribbean. They usually start in southern Atlantic. They're moving into the Caribbean. So it could potentially hit, for example, Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, the Bahamas, and then Florida. And it could hit all of Florida and just go right over Florida. That's one potential track of the hurricane. Or it could stay off the coast. That's a distinct possibility. But you can't just base it on one forecast, because these forecasts are constantly updated because they have these computer models. The Americans have theirs and the Europeans have theirs, and they disagree as to both the how, what category in terms of winds it will go to and the path. But eventually you have a very good idea, and as it moves further north and west, if you're south and east of there, well, you're not going to get hit. Well, there could be a hurricane or a storm behind it, though. So these hurricanes are rated. There's a scale. What I would recommend you do, and I have... I'm pretty sure I put the video that shows the damages from different levels of, or categories of hurricane. That is a very, very, I think, an instructive video, and I would watch it. Or you could Google it. It's on YouTube. To summarize, damage when it hits at landfall, if it's a Category 1, you're looking at wind speeds of 74 to 95 miles. Usually the damages are minimal. It's mainly flying debris. But people get killed with flying debris, so you need to stay indoors. Don't be like the idiots that run out. Ooh, isn't this cool? It's not cool. It's dumb. Then you have Category 2. That's from 96 to 110 miles per hour. You get moderate damage, more building damage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most people, the temptation, if it's Category 1 or 2, is to stay put. But it can quickly be upgraded to Category 3. That's when the wind speeds are 111 miles an hour to 130 miles an hour. What's the damage here? It's extensive damage. That's why I say, once you hear it's a 3, hopefully you're not still in your home or where you're going to supposedly ride it out. Many people do, though, and that's their mistake. Because if it goes to Category 4, and hopefully it won't go to 3, but if it goes to 4, you're looking at winds of 131 miles an hour to 155 miles an hour. Damage to buildings and communities is extreme. So unless you're in a very, very well-constructed building, and I'm not talking homes, I mean reinforced concrete, and ideally with not a lot of glass, because usually the glass windows, they're one of the first to go. And then God forbid, if it should go to a Category 5, you don't see many of them, but those are when winds are over 150 miles an hour. And there have been hurricanes, and this one has the potential of being over 155 miles an hour. Then the damage is catastrophic. That's when you see, after the hurricane is passed, whole neighborhoods leveled. And that's the best way to think of it. All the houses are gone. All the stores are gone. It's devastating. And that's when you're going to see many dead corpses. So my advice is, if it's a Category 3 or right on the edge of it, leave. Go to another place where it looks like the hurricane will not be hitting. If you're in Florida, southern Florida, head north. If it looks like it's going to hit northern Florida, head to Georgia and beyond. Don't treat this lightly, because you don't want to be one of the dead. In Puerto Rico, there were nearly 3,000 people killed, and they didn't have electrical power for months. And that was just 2 years ago. Could it happen again? I don't know. It really depends on the track. Right now, it's, I think, going to miss most of Puerto Rico, and it's a Category 1. So I don't think it would be as deadly. But when it moves further and picks up a lot of water, that's when it picks up. It gets bigger in size. These winds are moving faster. So it remains to be seen whether the Bahama Islands, and there's many of them, and Florida are going to be hit. And who will be hit the hardest? We'll know. This news story will be in the news for at least, I would say, 10 days. And I think it's 10 days would be, this is Wednesday. That would be Friday of next week. We'll be on the air Friday of next week. They've assured me of that. But we're definitely not going to be on the air tomorrow or Friday. That's why I'm spending more time on this than I normally would, because I don't live in Puerto Rico. I live in Dallas, Texas. We have to watch out for tornadoes. They're deadly too, but, and let me just say, hurricanes can result in tornadoes. But I'm in part of what's called tornado alley. And that's what Texans and Oklahomans and people in other states that know what I'm talking, Kansas, for example, you got to watch out for those tornadoes because they can literally pick up vehicles, buildings, and you and slam you, and you end up to be one of the statistics, how many people die. Weather, Mother Nature, this is weather, folks. This is not climate. I'm not going to go into that other than to say, I hope it gets warmer. You see, I can remember in the 1970s when you had what I call it mass hysteria, that we were going into another ice age. An ice age, folks. I didn't say a hot age, an ice age. We might even turn into a snowball. The earth at one time was a snowball. It was solid ice. And media loves to scare people. That's why they love hurricanes, because, you know, you see the peak. There's our news reporter. The idiot standing out in the field watching the water go over his head or blowing him away. Oh, there he goes. No, I'm only joking here, but it has a lot of what they call visuals. It's a very optical story, but it's also a deadly story. Nature kills people. Nature has no heart, and you don't know which way the wind's going to blow and how strong and what's going to be in it. You don't want to be in a Category 3, 4, or 5 hurricane. Because if you're there, you're risking your life, the lives of your loved ones. And don't assume, because many people make this mistake. Well, I've been through half a dozen hurricanes, usually Category 1 or 2, or parts of the tropical storm. But those have been through a 3, and rarely 4, but a 3. They're the ones that make sure the gas tank's filled, they've loaded the car, battened down all the hatches, and are heading north, south, east, or west, just so they're not there when it hits them. So the next 10 days, we're going to see these charts with cones, the areas where they're... Remember, these are just estimates, predictions of the path of the hurricane. Sometimes they're all wrong. Sometimes they're right on the money. There's great uncertainty. And initially it's the wind. Then it's the storm surge as, especially on the coast, the water rushes in. And if, like I said, if it's a high tide and on top of it you have another 10, 20, 30 feet of a storm surge, if you're on the coast, it's going to destroy a lot of buildings. A lot of buildings. And they're going to be flooded out. And what happens is people stay in the homes and they drown in their own homes. Because what happens is the plywood that they put over their windows and doors blows in. And what blows in after that? The flood. They're flooded out, and the water rises and rises and rises. And before you know it, first you're knee-deep, then it's up to your neck, and then eventually you could drown. All because you didn't take precautions. You didn't listen when they told you, get out. And just remember, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of people, especially in Florida. I've been down there, you know, there are a couple of major highways. Everybody, let's say you're in southern Florida, Miami, Melbourne, Palm Beach. Now, let's say this looks like it's going to go right over the center of Florida. I don't want it to. I have friends, relatives there. You need to be heading out, thinking about it, loading it up, covering all your windows. People have windows there. It's hot there, especially in the summer. The best time in Florida is, well, in the fall and the winter. The worst time is in the summer. I almost worked there. Glad I didn't get a job there. At the time, I was very interested in it, but it just didn't work out. A couple of major large corporations wanted to hire me, but I decided to go elsewhere. I'm not a fan of Florida. I'll be honest with you. It's not my cup of tea. Florida is humid. It gets a lot of rain. So, they're used to rain. They don't panic when there's rain. But they begin to panic when that track looks like it's going to go right through the center of Florida from the south to the north. That's the worst case. Some of them just glance the coast. I'm not saying that's the best case because you get a lot of surge. Water flooding. Now, obviously, if you're in a 3, 4, or high-rise hotel, got to watch out that flying glass, but you'll make it in a Category 1 or 2. If it gets up to a Category 3 or 4 hurricane, I'd be in the car way before that happens, because once they declare it, this sucker is going to be a Category 3 or Category 4. Hopefully, you're in your car headed north. But you're going to see that there's going to be traffic jams. They're all trying to get out of southern Florida. Now, does this happen all the time? No. If they're lucky, it never happens in a year. If they're unlucky, they might get 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4. Now, they're not all category 3 or 4, rarely 5. A lot of them are category 1 and 2. Yes, people die in category 1 and 2. It's when it hits 3 and 4, the death toll goes up. And then it's usually hundreds, maybe thousands. And you're going to see a lot of destruction, a lot of destroyed homes, stores, communities. And it takes a long time to recover. And keep in mind, you won't have electrical power. That'll be down. That could be a couple of days or a couple of weeks. Or like in Puerto Rico, a couple of months. They lost their power grid. So I'm not trying to scare you. What I'm trying to do is paint a picture so you will take the necessary precautions. And I have a lot of information, but this information is going to be old. I'm going to update this. And let me just say this. Because I'm not going to be on the air Thursday and Friday, and most likely the first couple of days of next week, I will post updates to this Wednesday show. And then let's assume, let's be optimistic, that not this Friday, but next Friday, the construction is over with. What I will do is give you a update or a post-mortem, if you will, what happened. But until that show is on, that show won't be, I'm told we probably won't be able to broadcast until the following week. So I'll record the show and I'll give you the latest information there. By then, I expect it to be probably in Canada or New England or going into the Atlantic. But that's just one possibility. It could, and this is where it could surprise everyone. And see, most of these go north. Initially, they go northwest, and then they hit land and break up. But some of them continue over land and go in to the states. That's when you can get a lot of surprises, because usually it's the people right on the coast, whether it's Georgia. Well, first, whether it's Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. You know, I used to also live in on Long Island in Wantagh. Well, we would get hurricanes sometimes, and real bad ones. We get a lot of rain, a lot of winds, and you can be a lot of damage. I used to live in New Jersey, too. If these hurricanes hit there, people get flooded out. Why? Because they're on water. You get high tides, and on top of the high tides, what do you get? A storm surge, and then houses right on the water, typically, or a couple of blocks away, get flooded out. You know, first time in decades, but it's happened, folks. That's why you people pay attention to storms. And they really begin to pay attention when they start to call them hurricanes and assign a number to them. And that's going to change. And usually the NOAA will publish. Well, first of all, they have a hurricane center. The National Hurricane Center will be publishing maps. You'll see these maps. It'll have a map of the United States, usually about half the United States, on the Atlantic when it's a hurricane. If it's on the Pacific, it's a typhoon. But it's primarily the East Coast that's going to get hit. And you'll see a map of the Atlantic, and you'll see predictions. And it's just computer models. It's the best. It's really a best guess, given the information they have. And they're constantly updated because they're sending planes into the hurricane to see how high the winds are and where is the prevailing wind, what direction it's heading. They risk their lives. So you have these weather models, not climate change models, weather models that are trying to predict the path, the track of the storm. And those change usually several times a day, 4 to 6 times a day. You need to pay attention. If you're in that cone, you start to think, well, what am I going to do? Am I going to get out of Dodge? Am I going to leave my home? And I understand why people don't want to leave it, because, yes, unfortunately, you have people that will break into homes. The criminal element is still there, and they will break in the home. And remember, the police, they have families. The police might not be around or a minimum force, and they're staying at the police station. They're not going out patrolling. So that's why many people don't want to leave their homes. They're afraid that the criminal element's going to break in. But keep in mind, if you're going to stay there, I hope you're armed, because the criminal element usually is armed, and they will break into your homes. and the police are not going to help you. Now, you might get lucky, and maybe the criminal element gets smart and leaves as well. It depends. I would say what happens is once it's a hurricane four or five, everybody should leave. Everybody. But then it's too late because, yeah, you could get in your car, but your car could be flooded out or destroyed. That's why the sooner you make the decision, and I'm not saying it's an easy decision, because many times their whole life savings are tied up in their home, house, whatever, as well as their belongings. But we're talking life and death of you, your children, your loved ones, your pets. So if at all possible, leave. And if that's not possible, go to the designated building they think is the most well-constructed. And, okay, for a couple of days, you're going to be in a gym or auditorium and sleep on the floor, but that's much better than being killed. Now, I probably went on too long. But I want to say you got to take this seriously. And in my mind, once it turns Category 3, I'd be in my car heading north if I were in Miami. And that's what'll happen. And then if it hits 4, then that's when everybody goes or should go. You're always going to get a few people that, and they usually end up dead. And I don't want you to be one. I want you to be prudent, take the necessary precautions, tune in on the television or go to YouTube, listen to the news to get the latest. And it can change quickly. That's the other thing. Don't think just because it's Category 1, you can go to sleep and I'll wake up and it's still going to be Category 1. You might go to sleep and it's a storm. Assuming you're not awoken in the evening, it could be a Category 1, 2, or even 3 over an 8-hour period. Again, how fast the storm is moving and the track. Don't think you can fight Mother Nature. Mother Nature will kill you. And we're talking thousands. If it's a Category 3 or 4 and moving slow and goes over land, that's when you see the maximum destruction in terms of buildings as well as the maximum number in terms of deaths. And it's from the wind and it's also from the flooding. So you can't just look at the wind, although that's important. You need to look at the flooding. And we've had Categories 3, 4, and 5. And there's some videos on that comparing the various sizes. So there's a lot of information. Take advantage of it. And if you need help, ask your neighbor. People, it's surprising when you're facing a common situation like this, life and death situation, that's when people, neighbors that maybe have never spoke to each other, start talking. It's like if you've had a fire in the neighborhood, you meet your neighbors. Now, why? Because they're concerned the fire is going to hit them. Same thing with a hurricane. So there's a lot of information out there. It's not like 50 years ago where you didn't have the internet, didn't have satellites. But don't be lulled in a false sense of safety because of the technology. Mother Nature, and if it's a hurricane, or for that matter, a tornado, can move real quick. And it can kill you by flooding your house out or bringing down a tree that in turn goes into your house. And this has happened. Brings down a tree, the tree falls in the house, and it kills someone in bed. Generally, what people do is initially, they think they can wait it out. What they're doing is, okay, I'll board up all the windows, I'll have all the food I need, I have all the natural gas for cooking. They'll stock up on batteries. And what quickly happens, people go to the grocery store and they're taking usually it's batteries, anything and everything that they know they need, especially natural gas. Now, some of them have generators. But if you got to leave or planning to leave, and people in Florida know this, suddenly there are long lines at gas stations, like in the gas in the 70s. And because of Florida and limited highways, gas stations run out. So what most people do is they make sure the gas is topped off. They stay home, and then they watch it real close. Eventually, they flee. And that's when the roads get congested. And then people that flee usually stay with relatives or go to a hotel outside of Florida or away from where they think the hurricane is going to be headed. Be prepared. The way I like to say, hope for the best, but plan for the worst. And remember, let's say you don't have food or milk or whatever. Everyone's going to the grocery store, and what do you think they're getting? Batteries, plywood boards, milk, cereal, anything that. And why? Because If it really truly hits, you might not have groceries for a week or two or three, because why? They got to be restocked. We are very dependent on the supply chain. And when you get a natural disasters like that, what happens? The stores are invaded and the shelves are empty of those goods that people mostly want. I'm not saying there's not going to be some goods there, but it might not be what you want. You keep seeing pictures of that. Every time this happens, a lot of shelves are out. So your local Walmart, Costco, Sam's, Kroger, whatever your grocery store is, yeah, they're loaded with food, but once this looks like it's going to hit, a lot of people are there emptying the shelves, and it's a mob scene. So you see a lot of people with shopping baskets filled with food and a lot of long lines at Costco or Walmart's, and you see the pictures, and not only they're filling their gas tanks, they're filling these red portable tanks, because they want to make it out of wherever they are to head north or away from the hurricane. They first have to go north, and then once they're in northern Florida, then they can go west or continue going up the coast or inland. That's what they're doing, but there are millions of them. That's the worst case scenario. And keep in mind, yes, some of the first responders, the police, the fire department will stay, but many of them are leaving. They have families too. So if you think you're going to be rescued when the Category 3 or 4 or, God forbid, 5 hurricane hits, no, you're not. It'll be days after the hurricane is totally moved off that, first of all, you'll get first responders there. And remember, by then, most of the electrical power will be out. So if you don't have your own electrical generator with fuel, you remember you need fuel, and assuming it's not damaged, you're going to be without electricity for usually days, if not weeks. I hope I haven't panicked people. I'm not trying to panic you, but you are in the best situation. I don't know where you're at. I don't know how well constructed your home is. Most people that have been through this several times, they know what to do. But we always have the idiots that, oh, I'll ride it out. I've been through this many, many times. And unfortunately, many of them either get injured or they get killed. You got to pay attention. You need what I call situation awareness. You know your situation best, and don't wait to the last minute, because guess what? There'll be thousands, maybe even 10,000, waiting for the last minute. And then suddenly it looks like a California highway in the middle of rush hour, cars fleeing north. Don't be a fool. Don't be an idiot. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And just look at the history. Katrina in 2005. Andrew in 1992. We started to name them in, I think, the 50s or 60s. Sometimes they weren't named. What you need to understand, Caribbean, including Cuba. I haven't mentioned Cuba. Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Bahamas, anything in that area gets hit. Sometimes it misses some areas completely, but other areas close by get hit. They're unpredictable. That's the word. They're unpredictable. Both where they're going to go and how much water they have with them for the surge and how much winds they have. And it fluctuates. It changes over time. And sometimes they'll hit land, drop the water, the winds will die down, they'll circle back, pick up more water, more winds, and then come again. Now, that doesn't happen that often, but it can happen. So obviously, if you're in Miami, Melbourne, Palm Beach, along the coast, Jacksonville. It's definitely going to, in my mind, it's going to hit the East Coast. It might hit the West Coast as well. That's why I say, if it goes up right the center of Florida, first of all, it depends where is it going to hit. Let's say it hit, landfall was the southern tip of Florida, and it goes right up the middle. Then it's going to hit both coasts. That would be a disaster. So pay attention. What I'm talking about now is trying to give you a general sense of what you're in for. I'm in Dallas, Texas. We're not going to feel this. Now, we could have a tornado come. We've had a storm, not too long ago, we had a serious storm that knocked down. I've been in Dallas since 1984. I moved over from Fort Worth to Dallas. So that's a long time. That's over 35 years. I've never seen so many trees knocked down in the Dallas area, all neighborhoods. The wind was like sheer wind. It wasn't wind coming down. It was like it was going horizontal. And it damaged a lot of trees and buildings, but primarily trees. I'm in an apartment complex. It broke a lot of branches. It broke some trees were totally knocked down, but it was not just my apartment complex. It was all over Dallas. And there's still dead tree branches that haven't been picked up. They said it's going to be months before they can pick up all the down tree limbs. That wasn't a tornado. And it sure wasn't a hurricane. It was just winds that were very much, how I'm trying to say it, not so much vertically coming down, it was horizontal. That's the best I can describe it. When it's a tornado, you're having it both ways with a lot of water. We didn't have that much flooding, but we had a lot of wind damage. So my thoughts and prayers do go out to those that will, unfortunately, be impacted. We don't know, and I hope no one, this is being a little optimistic, I hope no one is injured or dies because of this, but if this goes to a Category 3, 4, or 5, there'll be a lot of damage, and unfortunately, I would say several thousand people will die. If you've paid attention, have situation awareness, you shouldn't be one of them. And try to help your neighbors, especially, I'm sure some of them are elderly, up in age. Help them out. Remember, your entire community is going to be impacted. Be the good Samaritan. This does what surprises these disasters, and they are a disaster, bring people together. And it's a shame it takes a disaster to do that, but I've seen that firsthand. You might not know your neighbor. You've lived in an apartment complex for years, and suddenly, let's say a building or apartment catches fire, and suddenly neighbors try to help out. The same thing with tornadoes and hurricanes, typhoons. So I'm going to move off this. It will be probably, could be earlier, but most likely next Friday before. I'll give you more or less the postmortem. Hopefully, I'm sure a few people are going to die, but I hope it's only a few. And I'm sure people will lose their home. There'll be a lot of damage. But if you're prepared for it, at least you can save your life. It's up to you. Now, there's one other story I want to talk about. And I debated talking about this, but there's a reason why. I was hearing, I'm very interested in immigration, both legal and illegal. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know that. But I used to be in the Air Force. As much as I try to get an overseas assignment, I spent 5 years in Dayton, Ohio. I really wanted an assignment in Europe. Had the Air Force given me an assignment in Europe, I probably would have stayed in another 3 years, but they didn't. And I tried. I had my wish list. And the Air Force has bases in Germany. I used to, when I was a kid, I mean a small kid, young, my father was stationed in Regensburg and in Frankfurt. And for those that have not been in the military, at least then, we're talking the 50s, what a lot of military will do is they can get their families to come with them. Now, initially what happens, the husband, or at that time it was mainly the husband. Husband would be reassigned to, let's say, Germany. Let's say Regensburg. And then usually a couple of weeks or a couple of months, the wife and the children separately from the husband either fly or go by ship and plane to where the husband is stationed, and usually the husband has already arranged for an apartment. I'm giving this background because anyone that served in the Army, the Air Force, the Navy, Marines, this is very, very common. And remember, this has been going on for years, folks, decades. And talk to anyone that's been in the military or has children. I call them dependents. Many, both enlisted and officers, it's not just officers, will bring their family. Sometimes the spouse don't like it overseas. That can be a problem. But most of them like it. And guess what happens? Babies are born in foreign countries. It could be Germany. It could be Japan. It could be Taiwan. Could be the Panama Canal Zone. Wherever you have U.S. military, and the military allows dependents, the spouse and the children, to accompany them, what happens? Usually one, sometimes more, but usually you might get a baby born there. Now, are they Germans? Are they Japanese? Are they Taiwanese? No, they're U.S. citizens. It's automatic. They are U.S. citizens. That's the way it's been for decades. Now, what also happened? What's interesting, I was, there's a movie. Now, I hadn't seen this movie, just by accident. And I wasn't going to watch it, but I did. And I didn't see it from the beginning. It was called Sayonara. And I would recommend the movie. I thought it was a good movie. But it was during the Korean War. And what happened is, you had military personnel that were in Korea, but also in Japan. So you have U.S. servicemen, and I'm talking both enlisted and officers. What happens? They decide they want to marry a native. It could be a Korean, it could be Japanese, Taiwanese, wherever they're at, German, even British. Now, the military policy has changed over time. They try to discourage that, and that's what this movie goes into. But it doesn't work. And they marry someone, a citizen of another country, and eventually get reassigned back to the United States, and they take their wives and what else? Children back to the United States. Now, the wife and the child of this military, call him Captain America, now has a wife that is Japanese. They eventually get U.S. citizenship, as does the child born to that person. Some will adopt children. But the general rule has been, if you're a child of a U.S. citizen, in other words, your mother and father are U.S. citizens, you're automatically a citizen. There's no question whatsoever. The only question comes up is if someone marries someone when they're there and they have a kid or what? Adopt a child. Until recently, the time spent on a U.S. base, and I need to point this out. In some countries, you have U.S. bases. They're large bases. But most of the time, your military live off base because there isn't base housing. There may or may not be, but usually it isn't. So you're living in whatever apartment or housing that's available. You know, when I was in Germany, we lived in a very nice apartment in Regensburg, and then my father, and I really like Regensburg, although I never went back. And then we were moved, I think for about a year, to Frankfurt. I didn't particularly like Frankfurt, but they had high-rise apartments. The residents were fine, and if you're military, you know this. There usually was an American school for who? The children of the military, as well as the diplomatic corps, and some natives. Now, why was this a news story? Well, it wasn't a news story. What was the news story is the Department of Homeland Security is taking away citizenship from Americans that are abroad. Well, it was a perfect example of a fake news story, or professional so-called journalists, I think they're junk journalists, they're propaganda, not doing their homework, not doing their job. Now, what happened? Yeah, what was happening is the Department of Homeland Security, their U.S. Citizenship Immigration Service, they were changing policy. Now, what you need to understand, I'm not trying to scare anybody that's overseas that's listening. You have no problem if your parents are U.S. citizens. You are a U.S. citizen. Your parents have to do absolutely nothing. And this should have been said right up front. This change in policy, and I'll give you my understanding, affects maybe somewhere between 20 to 30 people. Ladies and gentlemen, even today, there are thousands of military that live abroad, and their wives, their spouses, and their children are there. In the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, there were many, many, many more. But there was a law passed, and the State Department, and the gist of it is, you can't, for those that are not, for example, adopted, you can't count the time on a U.S. base. In other words, you got to apply, and there's a form, but only between the Department of Homeland Security head, and he should have said this up front. I'm not blaming it all on the journal, but maybe 20 to 30 Defense Department would say less than 100 would be affected. And what we're talking about is not taking citizenship away from anybody. It's just you're going to have to fill out a form if you're one of the few that fall in this category where, for example, you adopted a child. Whatever country you're living in, you adopted someone. Or you married someone. In a nutshell, this was a policy. You shouldn't have had a news story. This should not have made the news. But it did. And I could see where Trump gets upset. And they were trying to explain playing it, and I have a, I'm looking at the time. I can't play. I really can't play this video, but I have a whole story on this, including the words of the new policy. And I knew it's not going to really impact many people, but it's interesting, especially CNN. But they're all sort of doing this. The very this is the Trump administration tightens the rules of U.S. military, and it's not just U.S. military, as well as you have government agencies, for example, the State Department, but you also have another number of government agencies. They have employees over there with their spouses, and they have children. They might adopt children. It's not just the military, but I wanted to give you a sense because I've been in a situation where I was a dependent child, but both my father and mother were born in New York City, as was I. And it's clear what the acting head said. I believe he's the acting head. Well, he might have been confirmed. Said, listen, we're talking maybe 20 to 30 people. We're not denying anyone that had the right to become a U.S. citizen still has that right. It's really, in my mind, to simplify it, we're just changing the form to comply with this law that the State Department has already, they have the form, complied with. In my mind, it probably wasn't a news story, but it got a lot of people nervous. People in the military. What? My kids have to fill out a form? No, very few people fall in this category. And yeah, they're going to have to fill out a form, but they're not being denied citizenship or the right to apply for it. You got to fill out the paperwork. You know, the government is a bureaucracy. You got to have the right form. And in essence, that's what it was. And if I were an editor, I'd say, we're not going to put this on television or in the newspaper, but they did. You know, some of the headlines is, will not get automatic citizenship. Not true. So there was a lot of misinformation, and it's sad to see this. This was a way to get at Trump. It really was. And the secretary. And I wanted to cover it because I'm sure if I were a young kid and my mother, father were overseas and they saw this, they might have been a little bit concerned. I don't think so, though. This was just the current example of how to get Trump, embarrass Trump. Could it have been handled a little bit better? Yes. But I think they were making a mountain out of a molehill. The secretary went on a number of shows trying to clear it up, but the journalists were using this as a club to beat on Trump. I'm not sure, but I doubt Trump was even aware of this. This was a policy change, but it affects so few people. It's just a form, and you can't figure it out. And I know why the secretary is upset, because many of these news organizations didn't even call up the department and ask about it. But they thought they could beat up Trump and the secretary, and that's what they did. And I'm talking all the major networks, as well as CNN, Fox News. Now, once the secretary made the statement, whoa, what are we talking here? Maybe 25 people, maybe as low as 20, as high as 30. And then the Defense Department says, well, under 100. They weren't going to fine-tune. That's what it's come to. We have I call them junk journalists. They're propagandists that will use anything and everything as a lever, as a club, to beat up on the Trump administration. What's annoying about this, I'm sure for at least a day or two, until there was some clarification, you had some American citizens a little bit concerned, especially if they go to YouTube and watch these videos and hear these stories. Fortunately, it'll be a news story for hopefully just a day, two at max. And then this is going to be totally blown over. Not the case with Hurricane Dorian, that hopefully will largely miss Puerto Rico. Remember, now it's Category 1. But it could pick up speed and size. And they have a lot of potential targets. Bermuda, Florida. If it goes south, Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic. It goes north, Georgia, along the coast. So do yourself, your family, your loved ones a favor. If you're in any of those areas, try to follow this as close as you can. Be prepared. Do what prevention actions you can do, like boarding up your windows, because it's the flying glass that... Thank you for listening. And now my favorite song, America the Beautiful. And I'll be back, maybe, next Friday. There won't be a show tomorrow or Friday. But next Friday for sure, maybe earlier. Thank you for listening. Now, here is my favorite song, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.